AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, guys? It's me, Gabrus, and before you get to my episode, by the way, thanks for listening. I just want to let you know that I'm going to be doing some live dates in the new year, so get yourself some tickets. The weekend of the 16th, 17th, 18th, I'll be doing a little Northeast. I'll be in Littlefield, Brooklyn on January 16th. I'll be at Great Scott in Boston on January 17th, and I'll be at the Ruba Club in Philadelphia on January 18th. And then in February, I'll be doing a little Texas tour. Don't worry. It's after the Super Bowl, Texas, so you can come out on the weekend. It's February 6th. I'll be at the White Oak Music Hall in Houston. On February 7th, I'll be at the North Door in Austin. And on February 8th, I'll be at the Son of Herman Hall in Dallas. Do yourself a favor. Get all your tickets at headgum.com/live. You'll see links to all the tickets for my shows. So that's January 16th, 17th, 18th in Brooklyn, Boston, and Philly, and February 6th through 8th in Texas, Houston, Austin, and Dallas. Thanks so much. Hope to see you out there. See you soon, shitheads. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. This is much more difficult when there's a near stranger as a guest. The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Oh, a legit sneeze onto my mic. Thanks, bud. Cannot wait to breathe that in for the next 45 minutes. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, a longtime mutual follow. How else do you explain? Like a colleague? I don't know. But I'm excited to talk to her. I got Adrian Earhart.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to the High and Mighty Studios.
Thanks. That was fun.
That was fun. I appreciate you looking at Arthur when I did it.
Yeah, like, I thought you might.
Hey, there's something else.
Pay attention to the dog.
I'm going to avert my eyes as this nearly 40-year-old man does this stupid fucking gimmick.
Hey, man, live your truth.
Hey, this is me. I feel like the listeners of this podcast are tired of hearing this, but... that one was hard for me. As I started doing it, I was like, you know, we've been talking for 3 minutes. This is way too much. Like, if I was acting like this anywhere else, would be a nightmare. But on my podcast, it works.
You can do whatever you want, man.
So now you can't look dumber than me now.
Oh, you know what I mean? Try.
Like no matter how, yeah, it's a race to the bottom. Don't challenge me.
Oh, I could do it.
Well, one of the things I want to talk about is something that's super zeitgeisty right now. In addition to being a comic, mm-hmm. you work in the cannabis industry.
I do.
Hell yeah. You want to shout out your store?
Yeah. I'm the marketing director at the Higher Path in Sherman Oaks.
Check it out.
About to be more Higher Paths. So pay attention to that.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
It's a big job, but I have the flexibility of still doing comedy. So I love it. And I get to do a lot of dope weed shit, and I get a lot of weed shit all the time. I gave you a little bag of schwack.
Yeah,
swag.
I know. I am so excited. I am complete. I can afford almost anything I want in the weed world.
Yeah.
Like, not anything I want. And free weed is still the best weed.
Yep. Yep. I enjoy
like,
it myself.
I love like when someone's like, hey, here's a free joint, you know, or like you go to like any one of these weed events mm-hmm. and you leave with something. It's like, oh, this is fucking cool.
I have too much free stuff right now and I can't smoke because it's giving me panic attacks. So I'm selling like all my shit on like Let Go and Facebook Marketplace. And anyone who comes over, I'm like, do you also want a toaster and a nightstand and maybe some weed?
And here's a goodie bag for thank you for being a customer.
They've all said no to the weed, but one guy tried to buy my plants. And I was like, no, those are my children. Get out of here.
You're like, just because I can't smoke doesn't mean right now, doesn't mean I can't keep pruning and working with these guys. That's my next goal is like my dream is to have a space where I can grow my own.
Yeah.
Because I think that's like even more like when I'm going to be 40 in a couple of years and I don't think I'm giving up dope in the next 20.
No.
And I think if you're like 50 something, it should at least be from your garden. So you can have like that, like adult feeling
there you
of
go.
Like, yeah,
be a horticulturalist.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm not just a pothead. I'm also a gardener.
Yeah. Canisseur.
You could do a canisseur. I love that. Mm-hmm. Mary Jane Gibson from the, from the Weed and Grub podcast. She said, they said cannabis gastronauts was what they were called. And I was like, that's a fucking
because they're chefs, her and Glazer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
They're so cool.
Canisseur, I haven't heard yet. And
I didn't coin that, but it's a thing.
Yeah. I've heard that. They call them bud tenders at a lot of places now.
Well, and like people that sell weed are bud tenders.
Right. And then like flower representative is whatever the woman was calling herself at Lowell Cafe when I went.
Sure.
And I was like, these are all such new, exciting job titles.
Yeah,
told like 16-year-old Gabris someday I could like, you could be a connoisseur. You can make money. You can get free weed if you talk about it on your podcast. Like that's a fucking
pretty exciting.
We live in the coolest state. I'm sorry.
I got arrested for cannabis. That's what started my career in comedy. And I think about that all the time when people are like just getting into the cannabis industry now. And I'm like, man, you don't even know the struggle that we went through.
Wait, tell me a little bit about this. This is your comedy origin story.
Yeah, I'm from Florida. And I was like 3 weeks away from going to grad school in Seattle. So I was out, trolling for dick, as is my wont. And I ended up at a comedy club because a buddy of mine was trying to get me to do comedy. I didn't know what it was. I grew up without cable. So I didn't know what stand-up was.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So this is like 8 years ago. And I ended up meeting a dude who I've since married and am now divorcing. But on our first date, he took me to a comedy club and we smoked weed in the back in the alley and I got popped. And I mean, I'm from Florida. I've been thrown in cuffs like 11 times for this. I didn't think it was going to be a thing.
That's on the state flag, right? It's like a guy getting someone being put, a topless woman being put in a police cruiser or something.
Yeah, that's me. That's actually the outline of me from as being 17-year-old.
I actually get residuals on the flag. So it's pretty
good. I do. In a public park where there's children present. Yeah. So he was training a rookie cop. So he had to book me. It sucked.
Oh.
Yeah. So then I didn't go to grad school and I ended up staying and then I'm dating him. And now that we're getting divorced, I can honestly say like I fell in love with stand-up comedy and it was like symbiotic with him because it was, he was teaching me what it was and stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She probably should have just ended that relationship sooner.
This is not at all the same thing, but that's like, I've only been camping a couple of times mm-hmm. and I've only done shrooms a couple of times and they're the same.
So camping
and I'm
like, shrooms.
I love camping, or do I love shrooms? Like, I don't know.
it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
But then,
I started doing comedy by myself and he became like an Instagram character. So stand up is mine now.
Yeah.
So I feel good about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you cannot lose that. You don't have to give up half of that.
Nope.
No one can take that
if
away.
If anything, I have way more material now, bitch.
Way more material, way more time.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about, I mean, we talked about this off mics, but I feel like for the listeners, if I just never, you're like, I'm going through a divorce. I'm like, So talk weaving. It's like, wait, let me casually mention that I'm a human, an empathetic human.
It's cool. I'm cool about it.
Yeah. You are cool.
Yeah.
I am a person who is like dangerously forthcoming, and I appreciate that in you. Like your Instagram stories of just like, this is the shit I'm fucking going through right now. Yeah. It's just so like, it's empowering even for me to see if I
can't
give you
hide
that.
It. Like it would be so painful for me to not be able to express myself through my art.
Right. And also you're not like, it's not like you're having a mental breakdown on, like, you know, I mean, whether you are or not is up to you. Whether you are or not is not for me to decide, but you're not like, we're not laughing at you falling apart.
Right.
You're not like Randy Quaid right now.
Right. I'm just going through it. It's like the separation is just, it's the annoyance of separating our things. And
it's
like
at a base level beyond like the heart and all that shit, it's like a logistical nightmare.
It's a logistical nightmare. And that's what I'm focusing on right now. Cause I'm moving. Like I said, I'm having people come to my home and buy my things for like, you know, I bought this desk for $130. I'll give you 40. Okay, fine. Will you help me carry it to my car? Fine. Just get it out of my apartment and I'll fine. Yes.
Yeah. You just like just fresh start.
It's
get
so
some
annoying.
New
shit. And I had to do everything. He cherry picked his shit and dipped. After I caught him, he was cheating like fucking crazy.
Oh.
So, I mean, this Instagram fame, it just gets to you, you know,
it goes to people's heads.
It
that's
goes
for
to
sure.
their heads, oh. Whatever. Good riddance. I'm over
yes,
it.
You're fucking going to be much better off.
I'm going to be fine. Yeah, you know, you can't call me fat and get away with it. So,
And thank you for the heads up. I'm sorry I called you fat when you walked in. I thought it was like how black people could say the N-word. Oh. I thought since I'm fat, I can call
whoever. What's up, fatty? How you doing?
Yeah, what's up, fatty? Hey, we just meeting in person.
Yeah.
But one of the big things that's going on in cannabis right now is like this, you called it Vapegate.
Yeah.
Or like this, the pendulum has swung back the other way on
mm-hmm.
vape
mm-hmm.
because there are some dangers to the shitty, to the non, like the illegal vapes, right?
Yes.
Is that what, because that's what I keep telling, people come to me a lot for like weed questions because mm-hmm. but I'm not like as informed. I'm more of like a stoner who knows what he likes. I surpass my wine knowledge with weed.
Got it.
But I have not like, it's not caught up to like my level of knowledge of movies and stuff. So when people are like, so what's the deal with vapes? I'm like,
that's the difference between being like a cannelier, like a sommelier, somebody who understands terpenes and things like that, and somebody who understands like compliance and illegalities and things
right,
like that.
Right, right.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it is like, now that the world is like cracked open, it's just like the cannabis world is now so, it's just as disparate as like IPAs or wine. Now it's so huge.
Yep.
But there's like this report or whatever that vapes are behind or the cause of several deaths in the last couple years.
Yeah.
And when people come to me and talk about that, I always say like, I'm not a real vapor anyway, because the reason I started smoking dope was like, cause it was natural and it wasn't like,
right.
It was from the earth. So it felt real. And then when I started getting into like dabs and vape, I'm like, am I getting away from the reason I got into grass flower? Like, but I always say like, I think that's doesn't go for like the legal live resin of like a high end company is not going to kill you.
No.
And I'm correct.
There's
in that, right?
The problem here is the illicit, illegal, unlicensed, unregulated market, which has been formerly known as the black market, but we're not going to give them that kind of power. When you say black market, you imply that there's a white market, and that's not what we're saying here. There's not a disparity. And most of us lived in the shadows in the black market for most of our cannabis careers before coming into the light, and nobody wants to go back to those days. So it's unlicensed, unregulated, because the people who are making positive, effective change are those who are following the rules and paying their taxes.
Right.
So what these illnesses are being caused by is additives that are thickening agents in these vapes. So vitamin E acetate has been the one that they've singled out for this right now. So that's in e-cigarettes, that's in cannabis vaporizer batteries. There's also a couple of them are leaking lead from their cartridges because they're from factories in China that, again, are not being tested or vetted through, like, a CannaSafe is our favorite testing facility to go through. They're great. They're local, and they
so if something is CannaSafe approved or it's been checked by CannaSafe, you can be confident.
Yeah,
that,
you can definitely be confident. We've been working with them at my shop to make sure that, like, we randomly tested all the vapes in our shop, and if anybody didn't submit for vitamin E acetate testing, they're not on our shelves. So we kind of, like, strong armed everyone into doing that, and, like, CannaSafe furthermore got the machinery necessary to implement those testing standards.
Oh,
like,
awesome.
Immediately they made that happen, like, so fast.
Yeah, that's like the advice I gave my I'll just say friend, so to keep their the advice I gave my friend was, like, they're like, how do I know? I'm like, if your pod is $20, mm-hmm.
it's going to kill you.
Artie, get down.
It's going to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean.
I'm like, a high quality concentrate that has no additives, that is a gram or a half gram, is going to cost you money.
Like, if you want some numbers, like dank vapes, something like that.
Yeah.
That is testing at about 20% THC and 35% vitamin E acetate.
Jesus, what's the name of that?
Dank vapes.
Ugh.
Which is just a brand that anyone can slap their fake shit on and sell on the unlicensed market, ship it back east to their homies, and
yeah,
it's
that's
making
what
people sick.
That's what I found when I was back east in New York. A lot of my old grass hookups mm-hmm. are now also selling. Like, I'm like, oh, can you come through with an eighth? And they're like, yeah, you want vapes or edibles too? And I'm like, oh, I'll take a look. And then when they show up, I'm like, unrecognizable brand mm-hmm. of edibles, often, like, reminds me of, like 2010 LA edibles, yep. where you're like, ugh, someone just made this, wrapped it up.
You're,
and
like, I don't want to eat this.
Yeah, I have no idea how many. I don't even know, God, like, if they use gloves, no right? less, like, the right dosage. And then the vape pens, all they were like, it's a Juul pod, but it's got THC. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't trust it.
Yeah.
And we did, CannaSafe did a random sampling of 15 illicit vapes, and they found 50 times the amount of myclobutanol allowed, which is, it's a pesticide that's in, like, neem oil. And when heated up, turns into hydrogen cyanide. So a very tiny amount, like 0.2 parts per million, it's considered safe. But once it's concentrated in these forms and in these illegal substances, it's 50 times the legal limit. Piperonyl butoxide is another one. That's fog bombs, 26 times the legal limit found in those. So
Jesus.
You're literally not just vitamin E acetate at this point. Like, the additives, these pesticides that you're inhaling are just, because there's no testing done on this shit. There's no certificates of analysis. There's no manifest. There's no company being held accountable. There's no taxes being paid.
Interesting.
You are at risk.
And then that's how come the reason they get to actually even get any access to the market, to the public, is because they're skirting all that and all the additives. They could underprice their shit. You know, they'll say it's a $20 cartridge. People are like, fuck, why would I get a $60 cartridge?
Right. The illegal shops are selling these brands and doing just fine.
I keep hearing from friends and other potheads, or they're like, oh, have you gone to, like, an illegal shop yet? You can get, like, a quarter ounce for, like, $75.
Yeah, you can also get, like, walking pneumonia and possibly die.
Right, right. I'm like, at this point, like, I'm not trying to save money and risk myself at the same time.
And you can't physically really tell a difference in the oils.
Right, you can't. It's hard to taste. It's clear. It's hard to see.
THC, yeah. Once it's been turned into distillate, is clear. So all the additives are going to be different colored anyway. You can't tell if botanical terpenes or cannabis-derived terpenes are being used. And it doesn't matter. They test the same anyway. But,
oh, right.
But if you have an overabundance of them, you can oversaturate your endocannabinoid system and get very sick and get CHS. Have you been hearing about that?
No, what's this?
Cannabis hyperemesis syndrome makes you throw up, makes you faint. The only cure is quitting weed and taking a hot shower. It's Alice Moon is somebody who's been pretty vocal about having CHS.
That's something you can get yourself?
From oversaturating your endocannabinoid system, your CB1 and CB2 receptors, with too much cannabis use. Dabbing is the biggest culprit besides edibles for causing this oversaturation.
And is that, like, long-time usage or, like, big binge usage?
Either.
Oh, okay.
Like, I know people that have been, you know, blunt smoking for a bunch. And I knew I had a buddy who was judging a High Times competition and had to do like 30 dabs in a row. And he was hella sick for weeks and had to like pretty much go off the radar and quit weed for a while to recover.
Oh, wow.
And was like fainting and throwing up all
it's
the
like
time.
It's like cannabis poisoning, more or less.
Essentially. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like cannabis itself isn't bad for you. Just everything in moderation. I mean, it's the same as binge drinking. You're going to get sick.
Right.
You're
going
to get better if you stop binge drinking.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I've had a dozen experiences in which maybe someone should have taken me to a hospital with mm-hmm. alcohol and never did, but I can't imagine like that was not good for my body long-term, no. short-term, any of that.
Yeah. Do you dab?
I dab like the way I do shots now when I'm like 30 at 30 something. It's like, if there's a rig and everyone's like, we're going to do dabs, I'll do one.
Yeah, yeah. A little baby one.
Yeah. But I'm not a steady dabber.
I used to like dab and go to the gym.
Ooh.
And then like I saw like my mom die in my head one day on the Stairmaster and I like choke sobbed out loud. It was like really bad. And I was like, I'm just going to chill out on these.
You were like
steps.
That level of stone that you yeah. were having like dark fantasies.
Oh my God.
Shit.
It was, I think it was a panic attack now that I think back on it. And
now
I,
that
but
you're
I just,
learning more about
now that I'm
attacks.
Learning more about them, now that I'm having them and waking up on my floor face down.
Now you know. Oh,
they're
geez,
fun.
Yeah.
They're really fun.
Oh, they're a blast. Highly recommended. Yeah.
And it's dabbing in general. If you have a dab rig, you can, someone today actually was buying a dab rig and they pulled me out from the back and they were like, you can do DMT on these, right? I was like, yeah, dude, yes. Here's how you do it. I do a lot of psychedelics, so I'm like the resident expert for like, well, you could use this device to do this drug.
The dab rig was always like, I don't want to make it too easy on myself to get yeah. fucked up, you yeah. know, because I do have a little bit of a chase the dragon issue
sure.
when I break the seal or have my first hit, I'm sort of like, by the time I go to bed, I'm like, I need to do a rip of Keef. You know, I need to just get my fucking, I need to get super high so I can go to sleep or whatever.
Yes.
You want to just keep getting higher. So my way to fight that, my way to limit my consumption is try to take 2 days off a week where I don't at all and push my start time as far as I can every day. Yep. I'm like, I don't let myself smoke until I'm done with all of the things I have to get done now.
Yeah.
That's like some 38 year old man shit. But
I've
yeah.
been like, that's for most of my cannabis smoking career. Yeah. I don't like to smoke in the day and I don't like to smoke when I got shit to do, especially like smoking and going to the grocery store is a fucking nightmare.
Oh, to me, it's like what the opposite of a nightmare, a wet dream or whatever, but it's the repercussions are awful. I'm like,
yeah,
well, I can't believe
much.
I bought this much mango. It's going to go bad. Yeah. Like, what am I doing here?
Yep, yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. Tiff, my wife will be like, did you buy 12 coconut waters? I was like, I was so thirsty. And I'm like,
electrolytes, babe.
Yeah. Right. And I'm like, this is like, it's hard to think long-term when you're stoned like
yeah.
that. Yeah. I find when I get high, I'm either thinking way too short-term mm-hmm. or way too long-term.
Yeah.
Like I can't like my life vision gets all over the place where I'm like, yeah, all right, well, hopefully by next May I'm pretty buff, or like I'm like, 1 minute I need to play video games or I need to jerk off or I need to eat uh-huh. or something. Like I'm just like laser focused on something small. There's no way I can like survive being like that all day every
depends
day.
On the strain too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's another thing I found recently is I don't even know if I'm affected differently by sativa and indica anymore. I stand by this and I could easily be wrong, but I find that the headspace I'm in before I smoke
plays more of a role.
Yeah. Plays more of a role than like, if I'm wound up and like pumped and like a bunch of friends are over, I could smoke like fucking perp heavy indica
yeah.
and not be put down. But if I'm tired at the end of the night and I have like blue, even like any sativa uh-huh. it doesn't like crank me up either.
I've like, always said that it's like how you go into it. Like if you're going to sit on the couch, even if you smoke a sativa, it's going to couch lock you.
That's exactly.
It's not, it's like it's fucking coffee and it kicks in. You're like, oh, I got to get up and go for a run. Like it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It's THC at its core.
Right.
Especially
right.
when you're smoking these indoors that are like 18%+,
oh,
26,
yeah.
like you're going to get loaded.
Yeah. It's going to be hard not to.
And furthermore, they're doing away with indica sativa hybrid. That was like a very arbitrary system set up, you know, for your listeners, I don't know if they know, but like if something has 50% myrcene or more, it's considered an indica. 50% limonene or more, it's considered a sativa. Limonene smells like citrus, so it has like a very zesty feel. Myrcene is found in like hops and mango.
Yeah, it's
so,
like that's like the earthy, dank
yeah,
kind of smell.
And then you can smell it. If it smells like a little bit like beer, you know it's that's its dominance, and it's going to make you a little sleepier. It's going to give you a body buzz.
Yeah.
And if it smells like lemon or citrus, it's going to, you know, energize you.
Yeah, it's like lemon, pine, and citrus, sativa, and then like the indica is like earth, cheese. Yeah, yeah, like that world. Yeah, yeah,
musty.
Yeah, and then because I guess what we're talking about here a little bit is something I've heard is the entourage effect. Right. And that's just sort of like it's less now about sativa and indica and more about like what terpenes are in this
strain.
The profile. Yeah. Yeah. So like yet even amongst what we call sativas, there are like wild variances between Jack Harrah and Blue Dream or Silver Haze, whatever the ones you know are. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes the effect. And like we're getting so good. We being cannabis scientists, not we, me, but like getting so good at like honing in on that stuff that we're gonna I feel like we're eventually gonna be able to make like these super strains more or less where it's like the pinene is through the roof and it's exactly what you want, all the effects you
if
want.
You have none asthma, it's a bronchodilator. I always look for things that smell like pine forest because that's gonna help it. It's gonna make you cough a little bit, it's gonna loosen up your bronchioles, it's gonna help you breathe better.
Oh, I never even heard that.
Yeah, that's why Super Lemon Haze is a really pinene heavy one. That's why I used to dab before the gym.
Oh, nice, because that helps with your asthma.
Yeah,
it'll make you cough in the moment.
Yeah.
But it'll open everything up.
Yep.
Oh, that's so good cool. Shit.
And the entourage effect affects cannabinoids too. So you have THC, CBD, CBN, CBG, THCA. You have all these new cannabinoids that people haven't been studying or at least haven't come to light. And now people are finding out like, hey, you can do like CBN, CBG. You're not going to get high. You're just going to pass out, fall asleep. No psychotropic effects, you know?
Oh,
they say it's not psychoactive. CBD is not psychoactive. That's not entirely accurate. It is psychoactive. It affects your brain, which means it's psycho.
Yeah.
So psychotropic, meaning it doesn't give you like hallucinogens or
yeah, it doesn't make
visuals.
You feel high, but it does something to your brain.
Right.
And when you say the entourage effect amongst those cannabinoids, we're referring to like how people say for CBD to really work, you want a little bit of THC with it and vice versa.
Yep. Yeah. You're like, you're stronger with your crew.
Right.
They work better together. CBD by itself is a great anxiolytic. It's great for inflammation, but it doesn't really do shit. Like, you need a little bit of THC, even in a bath bomb, which I put one in there for you.
Oh, hell yeah. My wife's going to go ape shit.
That's from Kush Queen. Shout out Olivia Alexander, who was just in.
Kush Queen is the brand of bath bombs I've bought her previously. Yeah. That's awesome.
Olivia is the homie. She's taken over. Her stuff's in like Urban Outfitters and stuff. She's amazing. I know. She's amazing.
Weed going this mainstream is like.
It's the best.
Yeah. It's not fully what happened to Marvel and Star Wars, things from my childhood that are now ruined by their popularity.
Yeah.
But. Not yet. Exactly. It's just like my mother-in-law keeps texting me. I'm like, have you seen this world's first cannabis cafe? I'm like, I'll take you there when you come out if that's what you want. People are blown away by Lowell Cafe.
I went there a couple weeks ago, had my assistant book us a little fucking table. We went in there, had a little date. I had a comedy show plus these panic attacks, so I didn't even smoke weed. And she was like, going to go drink. So she was like, I'm not trying to get crossfaded. So we just sat there not smoking weed, eating munchy food, but enjoying the, you know, the ambiance and stuff.
I went with a buddy and, for my official review, I'm going to go back in a couple of months after it's been open for a little bit because it had some restaurant.
Kinks.
Yeah. It had some kinks, it had some restaurant growing pains, but the vibe of a place
it's
where
tight.
People have bongs at their table is pretty dope.
And it's beautiful with all the plants. Lowell has always had like the best aesthetic, and we have one of their displays in our shop in our bedroom now. And it's the wood and the
their
light.
Their packages are so cool.
It's great. It's eco-friendly. You know, their stuff biodegrades and they use magnets. And yeah, I'm a big fan of their products.
I'm a huge fan of their products. I'm a huge fan of their aesthetic. The cannabis aesthetic used to be like sort of like I used to be like the poster boy, like heavy set bearded guy who plays video games and eats Taco Bell. Now the cannabis aesthetic has been sort of revamped, and you work in cannabis marketing, so I blame you. But it's now like tatted up artist girls with like huge hats, you know, and like everyone's like, you know, like a buff shirtless, like ethnically ambiguous dude, like painting
healthy
with like
people.
It is the revamp that it needed because the vibe in Cal, when I moved to LA, I was already like almost a daily pot smoker in New York. And then when I moved to LA and just, it opened up that like, it wasn't just for like ripping balls in your house and playing Skyrim. And it was just like, do you want to smoke weed at this dinner party? Do you want to hike and smoke at the top? And we can like walk down all stony. I'm like, oh hell, you can live a different life.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very freeing. And like the stigma stuck for a long time. I still suffer that sometimes. People are like, oh, you're just high as shit all the time, aren't you? And I'm like, I haven't smoked weed in like 3 weeks at this point. And I just, I'm never going to live that down because I used to dab in my Instagram videos.
Right,
and
right.
Talk about it a lot. And I've been working in weed pretty much since I lived in California. So.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Like a lot of my podcast listeners and like fans or whatever will always be like, dude, Gabrus is probably stoned 24/7. It's like, that's unsustainable.
Yeah.
And also when I'm casually stoned, if you're not a close friend of mine, you'd be hard pressed to figure it out. Cause I'm not like, I've been doing it for so long and I have a high tolerance. I'm not like high school stoned every time. No. I can get myself there for sure. And
not
I do,
easily.
I do every once in a while, mm-hmm. but normally I'm just sort of like a little slower, a little goofier and no one could even tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. But everyone I know that smokes regularly, like all day and stuff, they don't have jobs, their parents support them or right. like their lifestyle is conducive to that.
Yeah. I'm the latter. I guess I have jobs, but my wife does support us, but I also, my career is a lot of things I could do while stoned.
Like, you're lucky. I have a day job and like, yes, I'm in cannabis, but I can't show up to my job high.
No,
it would be so hard to like, I'm building a website right now. Do you know how difficult that would be yeah. if I were high?
Yeah.
I
can't it's do like, that. It's like one thing if you're like hosting a cannabis event or something, but having like to do real shit, like yeah. real marketing work is not yeah. something you
I can't
can do.
Do
high. Like, oh, I always imagine that I can get high and write. And yeah. that's just something I can't do.
No.
I can get high and brainstorm, but I can't really focus on
you can like make premises and then you go the next day and you're like, ugh, what was I even saying
yeah, who
here?
The fuck, like, fuck my cousin, question yeah. mark? What?
I wanted to, or we did?
That, I was super high at a Santa Gold concert in New York one time. And I had like this, she was so entertaining and so talented and I was so high and I was like vibing so hard. And I was like, oh, I need to be more creative. Oh my God. I was carrying a notebook at the time. Cause I'm a 20 something comedian mm-hmm. and I'm like writing stuff down. I'm like, my fucking brain, I'm open. I'm unlocked. And like the next day I look at my Moleskine and the one page just says, this is where that joke from before came from. One page just says, guy keeps trying to fuck girl parentheses, but it's his cousin. And I was like, my friend who crashed in my house after that, I was like, this is what I was so excited about last night. He's like, I didn't read it. Yeah. You were just so pumped that you were like coming up with something. I'm like, there's gotta be more to it. And I'm like, but was there?
I like to write on acid.
Oh shit, dude. I've never done acid.
Oh
yeah.
I like
I'm very
microdose.
Intrigued by it.
A little microdose. Sometimes I'll do a microdose and go snowboarding. And then like, oh, yeah. it just takes away your fear. You just start riding dick out down the mountain a lot sooner than you would have, you know, and like a little bit less afraid of stuff. And
oh,
like,
that's awesome. I remember
last time I did, I was in Tahoe and I was coming up the ski lift right as it was kicking in. I'm talking like an eighth or maybe a 16th, like a micro dose.
Yeah.
And the sun came up and was glistening over the snow. It looked like diamonds on the trees. And I was like, it was
that's
so
fucking
intense.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was yeah. fucking gorgeous. And then it just rode all day. And like my friends were like, we're tired.
<You're> like,
and my husband and
good.
I were like, we're good. We're going to just keep going all day.
That fucking rules.
Yeah.
Ah, that's fun. I 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed that your hair is thinning, it can be too late. Oh, I feel like I'm doing the cold open of like a great... And that hairline slowly starts moving back. Any bald spots yet? The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have time. So do yourself a favor this Black Friday. Secure the best deal of all. A healthier, thicker hairline. Come on now. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims helps guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products. This isn't like... weird creams you rub on your head that like, you know, the, like some ancient person in a basement gave you. No, there's no, it's not gas station pills with like a picture of a hairy gorilla on it. No, these are prescription solutions backed by science. You don't even have to go into the doctor or the pharmacy though. You go to 4hims connects you to real doctors online. And then you answer a few questions. They review it. If they determine it's right for you, they prescribe the medication. So this Thanksgiving, when your relatives say healthy and full, they'll be talking about your hair and not the turkey. You know, that classic expression, man, this turkey is so healthy and full. But seriously, get your hair fixed before your uncle ruins your entire Thanksgiving. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to forhims.com/mighty. That's forhims.com/mighty. forhims.com/mighty. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost $100 if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. So remember, that's forhims.com/mighty. Yeah, I find that like I enjoy pairing weed with like with outdoorsy and like even arguably athletic type at shit. Like I loved, I ate 10 milligrams when I went snorkeling in Hawaii and it was just like a fucking dream come true. Cause I love, my favorite thing to do when I'm high, and I've said this on the podcast too many times, so sorry listeners, but Adrian needs to know this.
I need to know.
I really love to just be in the ocean when I'm stoned. Like I'm a, I grew up
you're
as a beach
boy.
Yes. I'm built for the water. Look at me. I'm built for cold water. I'm hairless. I'm like hydrodynamic.
Nice.
I am. The animal I realize I'm most like, despite all the guys in my DMs telling me I'm a bear, I am actually I feel most like a seal.
I was going to say seal.
Yeah, I'm like a big, hairless, goofy performer who's happy swimming or just laying in the sand.
That's nice.
Yeah, and this is inappropriate for having a stranger over my house, but like I have the body of a seal, like no hair, big belly.
Lucky you. Yeah. I got to do laser hair removal for that. I'm half Jewish.
I would kill to have chest hair.
Yeah.
I want like old like 70s man chest hair. I like talk to my doctor about TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. Like, do you think I could get body hair from that? He's like, it'll affect your like fertility and shit. He's like, don't do this for chest hair.
It will affect your fertility.
Yeah. Well, so that's what I'm saying. Once I have a kid, then I'll get my chest
hair. You guys going to have kids?
Yeah. The way too much information of it all is we've been trying for 4 years with the aids of doctors and whatnot. And it's a very difficult journey. Yeah. I think at some point my wife and I will do an episode about it of this podcast listener. So then we'll be fully open, but fuck man, it's brutal.
I just made an appointment to get my eggs frozen.
Smart.
Cause I'm 35.
Oh, great.
And
perfect.
Now that I'm divorcing, well, we had agreed not to have kids anyway.
Right.
But that was the reason, just TMI again, the reason we pretty much got divorced is because I realized a couple years ago that I did want kids.
Right.
And I got married under not false pretenses, but I had agreed to something that my heart was not okay with.
You should be able to change your mind.
I should. And I resented him and our lifestyle. And, you know, I pushed him into the arms of, I was going to say another, but it turns out it's many others. They're DMing me now. They're coming out of the woodwork. So it's many others.
Yikes.
So I can have kids. And, you know, I was at the doctor the other day and she was like, yeah, let's go ahead and just get you an appointment for your, have your eggs frozen. And then you have your options are open.
Yes. Your options are open. I keep meeting women who are in their early like every time I talk about this, I meet women in their early 40s who are like, I had my kid at 41. I had my kid at 39, 40, you know, like it's completely possible.
I'd like 38 is my ideal.
Yeah.
So I have like a couple years to like find someone and who also wants kids. And it's hard though, cause I want somebody in comedy, not necessarily a stand up cause we're fucked up, but like comedy adjacent.
Right.
But
so that they're understanding.
Yeah.
So that they get you.
I have a darkness in me that like normal people just don't, you know, muggles just don't understand.
Civilians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once I found my tribe, my comedy tribe, like that was like, I've always was too dark to be a ballerina, too dark to be, you know, whatever else I was doing. But once I found comedy, I was like, oh shit, these are my fucking people.
Yeah. And then there's that element of like, but the dude, as you're a heterosexual female, the dudes in comedy are either like young and nowhere near in the same life thing as you or married or divorced, you know, like, it's like once you're in your mid 30s, like it's a whole new vibe. Like
can't fucking wait to discover all of this.
Yeah.
Really excited about all of this.
For the listeners who can't see this, Adrian's eyes are looking through me into some sort of future or something. I can't wait to do this.
I'm very annoyed to be single. I don't like being single.
It's got, it's any major change like that sucks. And the one that's attached to like, you feel truly hurt by it is a fucking nightmare.
Big betrayal.
Yeah.
I'm over that for the most part.
Nice.
Now it's just like, God, there's a lot of fucking work to do.
Now it's like
moving and shit.
Moving, getting, are you doing apps?
No.
No, smart.
I've just been fucking comics. They're so easy.
It's a good start.
They're there. They've been there for years. They've been in the wings just like, hey, man, if everything doesn't work out with him, you know? And then I'm like, hey, everything's not working out. Yeah. What's up?
Remember how you asked me to the dance and I had a girlfriend at the time? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I don't. New dance coming up. You want to, yeah.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah. So with nothing serious. Right. And I don't know. I'm going through it right now.
I don't mean to laugh at that. I know. I'm laughing at the pure honesty and honestly slight discomfort I'm feeling.
A little bit discomfort. Yeah, I know. I'm not having a problem. Like, I don't know. I think the panics are coming because I'm thinking about being alone and not finding that person that like that buddy. Cause that's what my husband was at the end of the day. I wasn't attracted to him for a long time, but like we were best friends.
Right.
And am I going to find that again? Am I going to find someone who can deal with me?
The answer is yes.
You think?
Yes.
In LA?
For sure.
In comedy?
Yeah, you're getting a smaller and smaller target base. Comedy adjacent is a big...
Comedy writer.
Yeah,
comedy writer. I've been dating a comedy writer.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, but he could just at any moment just be like, fuck this, you're too difficult.
And there are people who work in entertainment who have senses of humor, but aren't necessarily... Like, my wife is very funny, and she gets dark comedy and all that stuff. Also, we've been together since we were, like, 21, so, like, if she had any qualms about comedy, I have beaten it out of her in the last 17 years in like dragging her to fucking comedy shows once a week for almost 2 decades. I know, I feel awful.
She loves you.
She really does. There was a time like 4 years into comedy when I was at UCB, like doing comedy every week where she was like, I'm not going to come for a little while. I'm like, oh my God. Yes. Completely reasonable. I feel off. And now we're at the point where like, I'm just like, she's like, do you want me to go to the show? I'm like, it'll be a hassle. I don't even know anyone else on the bill.
Yeah.
Let me just go there and be a weirdo by myself. Yeah. Yep. Cause that's a weird vibe when you do like a variety show or like just a night at a bar show or whatever. And you show up and you're like, you bring a friend and they have to sit by themselves while you want to go to the green room or do whatever. And you're like, I'd rather go by myself. That way I feel... I always tell my wife, I'm like, I don't want you to come to a show or come visit me on set anywhere until it's like the second or third time I've done it.
Interesting.
Because I'm already going to feel a little uncomfortable in those moments.
Yeah.
And having my wife there, having a friend there is like, now I feel the need. It's like when your agent is like, I'm going to come by set. And you're like, oh, now I got to like introduce this guy. Hey, look, it's so-and-so, you know?
You know, I think among the other things I lost in the divorce, my knives and things like that, I think I lost my fucks because my first date with this guy, he came and saw me do comedy.
But that's...
Set list.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, sorry. I didn't realize it was set list. This is going to be terrible. And he was like, no, it's fine. And then we had a fucking amazing first date. And
yeah, well, low key, taking someone to your comedy show that isn't a longtime partner is a great way. Because like...
If you're funny.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm confident. Yeah. Right. Oh, of course, if you're not good at what you're making someone watch, it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
But like... The power in like taking a guy on a date and then you just have the full room in your hand, making everyone laugh, including him. Like it's enough of an aphrodisiac to make a person laugh, but for that person to watch you make 40 people laugh or however many people are at set list that night, that like,
yeah, I had a good set.
Yeah. You can leave. It's like a post show rock star like element to it. Holy shit, man. I want to fuck that funny dude. Up there.
I had never experienced that before.
Right. Right.
Cause I've been locked in like, my relationship with him and comedy started at the same time.
Right, right. So from your first show, same here. I started doing comedy after I moved. I guess I was doing it in college before I met my wife.
Lucky. Yeah. I wish I'd had more years under my belt.
Yeah, but it's all fucking hot garbage. You know what I mean? Like I did my first quote unquote improv show in front of a crowd when I was 18. So it'd be the year 2000.
Oh my God.
So I've been doing comedy pretty regularly for 19 years. I'm no better than someone who's doing it pretty regularly for 1 year.
Like, I quit for almost 2 years.
Oh,
this divorce is what like pushed me to get back into stand up.
Oh, that's great. Hey, I'm not trying. I am Johnny Silver Linings. My wife always makes fun of me for this, but like that's a huge gift.
Yeah. I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah.
I got my whole life back. I got me. I got my body back. I got everything I want in life back. I'm very, very happy to be separated.
Well, it's one of those things, especially when you like, share something with someone. And when you don't have that someone anymore and you're like, well, now I don't have to share anything. Like, you know, like now this is me. This is, I'm uncut. I'm unfiltered now. This is like, I don't have, I'm like unburdened.
Yeah. I feel definitely unburdened.
Yeah. Well, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Let's jump back to cannabis for a little bit here. So if listeners across the country or in legal states are curious about these toxic vapes or whatever, get ones that are tested, testing at CannaSafe or wherever, or you, if it's like a reputable brand that you've heard, like that we've all heard of, like Lowell Smokes does cold press cannabis. They're not going to like
there are knockoffs though.
Yeah. Oh,
so you have to be careful. It has to be a licensed shop, and there are websites where you can go put in a license number and see if it's a licensed shop.
Oh, cool.
And then there are also things, I'm not sure about other states, but like in California, if they're open past 10 PM, that's a dead giveaway. If they don't give you a receipt, they don't check your ID. Like there are ways that you can tell.
Right.
If
right.
they're close to a school.
Yeah. I mean, you see where I live in sort of West Hollywood. This is like the Mecca, Wild West. Yeah. There's like hundreds of dispensaries. The Lowell Cafe is not too far from here. And I've seen signage for two more spots.
Yep.
Consumption cafes that are open.
Yeah, because WeHo's its own area. So
yeah.
LA is going to give us consumption lounges pretty soon. I can feel it.
That's fucking great.
Just fucking wait, dude.
It's truly talking to some friends, especially I have a lot of friends who are, the term I learned again from Mary Jane was California sober,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh yeah, I smoke weed almost every day and do shrooms every once in a while, but I'm sober.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lowell Cafe, I got the, like going there with a friend, we're both big drinkers, but we're both trying not to drink. We just like rented a bong, bought an eighth and got two green juices. And we were just kind of hanging out before dinner. And I was like, our tomorrow is already going to be better than it would mm-hmm. be if we met up and had two cocktails.
Yeah.
And now we can rip bingers all night long at the table and keep ordering food. Mm-hmm. Like that's,
it's awesome.
I'm so excited that that's something that we're going to have in this state, in this city. It's going to be so.
And it came at the right time. Cause like Lyft and Uber are big and like, you can just get rides everywhere.
Yes.
Scooters. Although I don't really recommend you riding a scooter high. Cause you're already annoying on those things.
Yeah. I will ride a scooter high pretty often, but it's but it's recreational. It's not for transport.
Oh, okay.
Like I'll just be stoned, walk in the neighborhood, and I'll see a bird, and I'll be like, "All right, let me just buzz down, buzz back, buzz around."
I know people that like commute with those.
I can only imagine. Well, every time I interact with someone, I flip how I feel about these scooters, mm-hmm. these e-scooters. So for listeners who don't know what we're talking about, I'm sure you do because it's like such a topic out here in LA and I'm assuming in a lot of other major cities, we have like these scooter apps, which are like Uber for e-scooters. So they're all over the city. You can jump on one, use your phone and take off. And for a lot of people, it's a hassle because mm-hmm. it's changed the traffic. Like I live near Melrose. You drive Melrose, it's already a clusterfuck with a four lanes, two lanes of parking and everyone doing. Melrose is the street where everyone goes. You don't have just do whatever you want. You're in a car.
Yep.
And then also there's now like 20-year-old kids on scooters on the sidewalk in the street crossing. And it's
and
like
bumping into people and hurting them. And
yeah, it's a wild. And then so you're like, they're a fucking scourge. Get rid of these scooters. And then you hear from someone how like scooters opens up commuting to non-drivers, to people who can't afford a car. They can maybe afford a scooter that gets them to public transit.
I get it. The infrastructure is not here yet. We are not ready for it.
We're not ready for it. We need a designated bike and scooter lane on every
or major. Like even a raised like ramp so a car can't merge into you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like fucking it goes up like.
Oh, that would be fucking awesome.
It's not ADA compliant, but like you go on the sidewalk.
Yeah. It's not that ADA, like scooters are not ADA compliant.
No, but like if wherever a scooter can go, a wheelchair can go.
Right, right. That's a really smart idea. We should have more bike lanes. It's crazy that Los Angeles, for its weather, is not a biking city.
Yeah.
It's humiliating.
Too many cars because it's too spread out.
Right. But you can like ride 2 miles and it's completely, like I used to ride my bike all around Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd ride because my gym, I lived in like Carroll Gardens, Red Hook area, and my gym was all the way in the Gowanus. So I would ride my bike there and then like ride around Park Slope. I was very much I know that Union has a bike lane for X, so mm-hmm. I stay on Union until I have to get off.
Yeah.
And I never really rode in Manhattan, only just like once or twice.
I don't blame you. I saw so many bikers get hit. So many.
It's crazy.
I would never write it. I mean, when I lived in Brooklyn, I lived at Flatbush and DeKalb, and this is before it was gentrified. So it was like a really dangerous area, you know, and I would never have left my bicycle anywhere around any of that. I would have had to take it up and put it in my apartment and shit. That's like a fucking
asshole. That was me. I lived at South Fourth and Bedford in 2004 when it was like completely ungentrified. Uh-huh. And it was, I'm carrying my bike up the stairs. And then when I moved to Carroll Gardens, I lived in a brownstone. It was a nicer neighborhood, safer neighborhood. But I still, like, having a bike in New York City, he's like, I guess I walk this up the stairs.
It's a liability.
Every morning I'm like putting my bike on my shoulder to walk down. And it's the winter, so I got to wear tights and this and that and a scarf. I'm wearing a scarf for the first time
in
my life.
It's so hard. New York is so hard. I think about that sometimes. And when I'm like carrying my groceries from my trunk to my apartment, I'm like, I used to do this for blocks.
I always talk about having those purple fingertips from carrying like four Met Union bags, and you're just like, hands are shaking. You get like, you have to stop at a corner and shake your hands out and then scoop up your four bags. You're like, fuck, I want to get a six pack of beer, but I just don't think I can do it.
If you miss a handle, then you pick up the bunch and then one of the bags falls open and then everything's everywhere. It's fucked.
So many times that's happened to me.
I finally got like a hiking backpack, and that's how I used to transport my laundry too. So it's like one of those big, tall backpacks.
Oh, smart.
And I would just like add everything in there, and then you just look like a fucking doofus, like a hobo when you're running around.
Well, that's the thing that New York can do to you, especially like if you're not a person with a traditional job. Like, I would, even when I had a traditional job, I was doing shows after, or I had auditions or whatever. So I would be like, I would be living out of a backpack every day.
Yep.
Like, just pretty much like, get home at the end of the day and there's like a banana peel, like dirty underwear and like a different pair of sneakers in there. And I'm like, and often like some stupid sketch comedy prop. I got my, when bag searches blew up in New York and like
after 9/11.
After 9/11 bag searches went up. And then there was another resurgence of them in like 2007 where they were just like they must have gotten word about something
It was Giuliani, wasn't it?
Probably.
At that time, he was doing a cop on every corner.
It was fucking like crazy. And which we thought at the time, I remember being like, Giuliani, what a hero. And now you're just like, in hindsight, you're like, oh, he was
I hate him now. Totalitarian. But like, crime was definitely better. Like, there were cops everywhere all the time.
Yeah, it feels like when I first moved to LA, that's one of the things I noticed is like,
there's no cops.
I haven't seen a cop in a long time.
Unless you go to like a bad neighborhood.
And then you go what?
A bad neighborhood.
Oh yeah, then they're all hanging out there. Cool. That's so cool of those cops.
Yeah.
But the cops searched my bag one time going onto the train and they were like, sir, I'm like, just a heads up, I have a comedy show tonight. They were like, why? I'm like, open the bag and you'll see what I'm talking about. In the bag is a luchador mask, a singlet, and a huge dildo.
Oh my goodness. You pervert.
Yeah, I know. And that's all I'm like, they're like, I know they're like comedy show. You know, it's like, I promise. Dildos are funny for
that's
like
what we're
a
calling
decade.
Snuff films now.
Follow this guy.
Yeah, right.
Put a tail on him.
Man, if they'd searched my fucking bag with all my sweaty dance clothes and smelly dance shoes, oh my God, I would have been the worst.
I do like that New York has become a little more chill with weed.
Yeah.
The last couple of times I've been there, I've been like, I burned one on the street a couple of times.
I used to smoke a blunt on a brownstone step, like,
oh yeah, on the
on
step,
a fire
for
escape
sure.
or something. Every once in a while, a cop walking by would like just shake his finger real quick and make a face or whatever. But like, if you're just being chill and, you know, it don't look like you're trying to sell.
Right. Exactly. That's what they care about. They don't care about. Although like a friend of mine got dinged for vaping on the street. And when they searched him, they found some more stuff besides weed. And that's how you get into real trouble.
Don't carry that shit on your body.
Yeah. No.
But in New York, you gotta.
Right. You don't have a choice.
You can't put it in your center console.
I'm like, once you get to a certain level of fame, you just get an assistant that carries that shit.
Yeah. Put this in your butt.
Come on. Got to tush it. Let's go. Jam it up there.
Tush it.
Tush it real good. Glad we were both there for that.
Yep.
I used to pay $80 an eighth for delivery.
Fuck you.
2/8 minimum because I lived in Brooklyn. This was like, for anyone who maybe they're still in business, they were called Prime. You had to be at someone else's house when a delivery guy showed up there to be like, passed to be like, so my friend had me at his house when his delivery guy showed up. It's like, hey, this is Gabris. He lives not too far from here. He wants to be added
to be vetted.
Yeah. But then you would send a text and be like, hey, blah, 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 or call the number. It had like eight numbers you could call. Some of them would be canceled or whatever, but you'd call the number and be like, yeah, I'm looking for a delivery. They're like, yeah, sure, no problem. We can be there in the next 7 hours. Like, it was like having fucking Spectrum come to your house.
You fuck that.
And you'd have to have $160 cash, which as a community.
That's so hard.
That would be four improv coaching sessions. Yeah. I would finally get $160, order my 2/8, and then I would fucking like
smoke it up.
Vape it, smoke it. Yeah. And now I'm like, have money, get free weed, live in LA. I'm like, fuck it. I'll toss this joint with like a little hit in it.
Yeah.
I would have had 12 roaches lined up at any given
time. Combine them all up. I was scraping resin off the bowl. Oh. Yeah.
You ever do the classic, like, smoke a joint out of a bowl? Cause the joint is like so small. Yeah. You like put it in the bowl and you're like, I'm ripping a bowl hit of paper.
Yeah, I've done that. One time we took a hookah, the top off of it, and taped a blunt into the hookah thing, and we all just puffed the blunt because somebody was sick or something, and we were like, no, you don't get to have your mouth on this blunt.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was an interesting contraption. I'm from Florida. This is just, we have to have a blunt.
We're from Florida, and that honestly was the least fucked up thing we've ever done down there. Oh, what part of Florida are you from?
Parkland.
Oh, I've heard of it.
From the shooting, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Douglas, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That, my first roommate after college went to Columbine, and that's like, it's such a,
it's very weird, isn't it?
It was like, where are you from? You say, and everyone goes, oh, heard it. But if you say you're from New York, no one ever goes 9/11, huh?
I guess. Yeah. 9/11 affected us too.
Maybe non-New Yorkers are like foreigners. Like, yeah. But it is like, that's a weird, I mean, my reaction was insane too. Heard of it.
Yeah.
Like, no emotion attached.
Pretty intense. It's like when I go back to visit, which is not very frequently because my mom moved away from there. The town is a completely different place now. They still are like, it sits on them so heavily still.
Yeah. I'm not comparing tragedies, but that's what New York felt like in 2002 too.
I moved to New York right after 9/11. I was flying up for dance auditions all the time and stuff. And it was
the whole vibe changed.
And just you'd go over to Ground Zero and just cry because it was so shocking, the amount of space that was missing there, you know, and the rubble. And
it's weird. Like, you can watch, you can see it, you can try to fucking intellectualize it. But then when you're standing at the space, you're like thinking about how, like you're saying, how big of a space that is and how high up it went. And you're like, holy shit. Like, it's a lot to fucking handle.
It was a lot. It was
like,
a lot.
I'm like, you're like, I'm in a weird headspace going through a divorce. I'm like, all right, cool. So
9/11.
Yeah, Parkland,
I remember.
Shooting.
Where were you? I was in Douglas
before
the shooting.
I was in Poughkeepsie at school, and I live with all New Yorkers. Like, we're all from Staten Island and Long Island, and it was just like a crazy ass experience. Like, the embarrassing thing for me was, and I don't know if I've told my 9/11 story on this podcast, but I had an 8 a.m. class, an art class, and I used to just go eat breakfast and then go to sleep for a couple hours right after. After my art class, was walking to get breakfast on the TV, saw a smoking building that I recognize as the towers, and I was like, that's, you know, just being a 19-year-old kid, that's nuts. Went in, ate breakfast, went to sleep. Went back to my room, went to sleep, didn't even think twice about it. My roommates all woke me up like an hour later. They're like, dude, something's happening at the Twin Towers. And I was like, oh yeah, I saw like an hour and a half ago. They were like, the building was smoking. And all my friends, all city kids, are like, what the fuck, man? You didn't say? And I was just such a fucking dumb college kid that I was like, oh, who cares? Some fucking news story, blah, blah, blah. And I slept through the rest of the shit.
God.
Like, I feel like a fucking asshole.
I was a junior in high school, I remember. And like, the superintendent came on the loudspeaker and was like, nobody put their TVs on. We'll tell you what happened after. And every teacher turned their TV on because everybody was from fucking New York, you know?
Right, because it's
Florida.
People
were crying everywhere. People were trying to call their family and stuff. And my mom came and got me because she's like, who knows where they're going to hit next? Like, you know.
Yeah, it was a real weird
Jewish
vibe.
Jewish moms.
Everyone in my college was from like the tri-state area because it was just like a low end. So it was like a huge deal. But then they also canceled classes for the day.
Yeah.
And the vibe was like, it's depressing, but it's still college and you just got canceled.
I know.
Classes canceled. And like, this girl showed up to our dorm room. She was like one of the girls in the friend group that we were friends with. She just showed up and she's like, fucking classes are off. We're going to fucking party. And I remember we were like legendary party animals, me and my college roommates. And we were like, took that moment to be adults. We were like, you need to chill the fuck out. Okay. You have no idea what it's like.
Bitch.
Yeah. And we were like, she was completely right to come to us in that moment. Uh-huh. But at the same time, we finally decided that moment to be like, you know what? No. Let's call our parents, see how everyone's doing and shit. Yeah. My dad got called into work after the first, cause he used to work at, Fox Five, not Fox News, but for the news. And they got called into work when the first thing happened, when the first hit landed, and then was on the bridge going into the city when the second one happened, and, had to stay, he was stuck in traffic on the bridge for like hours and hours hours. And then he just turned around and never even got into the studio. He had to come back like a couple of days later because they like closed shit off. Yeah. It's fucking 9/11.
Why are we talking about 9/11? It just came up organically.
It just came up casually. And as now I've been talking unbroken about that. I just, thank you for coming on the Alex Jones show on InfoWars.
Yeah.
I'm screaming about 9/11.
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. The gold was moved.
Follow me. Okay, follow the money.
Yep. Follow the money. I remember the heat wave followed by the power outage in, I think, like, that 03? Was 03. I was there for that. I was in the middle of a dance class and the lights just all went out. So I was like sweaty and gross. And then Woody could shower with hot water and like I had to pay cash for all my food for a while. And I remember I went back to my, I was staying in a hostel briefly. And the guys that had been in the same room with me and this girl had left early. They had a flight, but they turned around because there was no power. And we had wet the sheets. It was so fucking hot. There was no aircon. Wet the sheets and we were laying naked in the beds thinking that this is our room now. It's fine. And the guys from Spain came back and we were just like, it's going to be safe to just like stay facing the wall and like be whatever. And I heard the sound of like a camera clicking. They were taking pictures of like us sleeping naked on these beds. Like
Jesus
it was so,
Christ.
And I was too scared to like say anything or move. Like I think my butt was covered, but like my whole back and stuff was exposed. And I just like stayed facing the wall. Just like, oh my God, please don't do anything to me. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, fuck.
So that's my memory of the power outage.
The power outage. I was a lifeguard at the beach on Long Island. And the power outage happened in like August.
Uh-huh.
I was at the beach. I had like a Nokia cell phone brick at the time or whatever. And we worked till 7 PM at the beach driving home. As I'm driving home, I start going like, wow, none of these street lights are on. Mm-hmm. That's weird. I pull up to my house. My house is pitch black, which is not normal. My mom is like flicks on all the overhead lighting in a disgusting way. I'm living with my mom at the time, obviously. I start get out of my car. She opens the door. She's like, Jesus Christ, you're okay. You're okay. Oh my God. We were worried sick. And I like my phone. I have like 40 missed calls, all this shit. And just because I was at the beach, there was no signifier that the power went out. We had no idea.
How
no one was
know?
Like, there's no electric outlets.
It's sunshine.
We had no
ocean.
Idea. I was like, no, mom, it didn't get to the beach. Like we had no idea about the blackout. And she's like, get in the house. And there's like candles lit. And I'm like, this is fucking wild. I'm like, how long has it been like this? She's like, a few hours.
Oh,
and I had no idea. Yeah.
It was stressful. There were people partying. I went to Times Square that night just to go fuck shit up and like people partying everywhere. And
well, that's the thing I like. About the thing I miss about New York would never happen.
The camaraderie.
Here. There's like the camaraderie, and like I think the subway builds your camaraderie.
Yeah,
because you're just like, hey, we're 100 strangers, but we have to stand dick to dick for the next 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, to get to our office jobs. So after a while, you're like, I'm part of a larger organism that is the New York City populace. So when shit goes down, like the blackout, and it's like the local bodega is like when we had. Sandy, I was living in Brooklyn, and when we had Sandy, our local bar was like, sent a text that for all the real like diehard locals was like, doors locked, but come knock. We're fucking, we have no power.
Yeah.
Come drink everything in the fridges.
Yep.
And we were like, fuck yeah. And then we were there shit faced till like 2 a.m. And then a dude who worked at the Mexican spot around the corner was like, you guys want me to make us all
food?
Quesadillas?
Yeah.
And we're like, yup. We like took a bunch of booze from there. And we went into the fucking taco place. Then we were like, well, now we're fucked up and we're full. Let's wander into Red Hook where the water is like chest deep in the streets.
God.
And we did. We walked
way
through chest deep water. I came home and my wife was like, what the fuck? What were you doing? I was like, whoa, we're just adventuring. She goes, there's power lines down. Like, you know, one of those just like, I'm 25. Yeah, yeah. I could have been electrocuted. I was covered in oil. I had like oil all over my shit. And I was like,
approve of this.
No, you shouldn't. No one should.
You made bad decisions.
That was my last weekend in New York. We moved week of Sandy. It was an insane experience.
Just coincidentally?
Yes. Sandy happened and all of our stuff was in boxes in the living room. We had nothing. And we had people come over our house. We cut open the box of our wedding liquor and shared it with everyone that was in the neighborhood at the time. And when we went to the airport to move to LA, they told us the company that was shipping our stuff was like, we're not going to be able to get there for 2 weeks now. We were driving to the airport paying a car service $100 and something to get us there because there was like a gas premium.
Yeah.
And we're driving up to BQE and Manhattan is dark.
Yeah.
And me and my wife are just like in the backseat of a car with the dog.
How surreal.
Crying, just like, this is the weirdest thing ever. We're leaving this.
What a way to say goodbye.
It was a weird way to say goodbye. But also we were depressed that we weren't staying to help or staying to suffer alongside people.
Yeah, I get
like
it.
It felt like a
solidarity.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like that weird thing of like, I feel bad that we're leaving. Like, no, this is our city. We got to help out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fucking put sandbags somewhere or something. I'm going to help out by like getting fucked up and swimming in my street.
I don't think anyone feels like that in LA.
That's the thing. If some shit went down in LA, like people are kind here.
Yeah.
Like people aren't assholes.
But they go back to their hometowns probably.
Yeah. Well, there's so much privacy in LA. Like you just get in your car by yourself and leave. You just go home to your apartment, your house. You go to like, and now so even more, like there's so much opportunities to just, you can go through your entire day with noise canceling headphones on and never interact with someone. But
that's
like
true.
In New York, even with your headphones, a dude would be wiping his ass on the F train. And
I
like,
hate it. Oh, I hated that. Or wagging his dick at you or something.
I know. I've been going back to the gym now pretty steadily for like 3 months. And I finally surpassed the amount of dicks I've seen in LA than I saw outside in New York.
It's very weird. The homeless people here are different. I feel like they're less vocal here. Whereas in New York, I'd be walking down the street sometimes and a guy would just randomly just be like, yeah, you know, you look good.
Yeah.
And I was like, thanks.
The difference between the homeless, and I feel like part of it is like a 10-year passing of time because it's gotten so much worse for people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an element to here where you can kind of survive outside year round. So there becomes like this sort of like, a more of a community, whereas in New York, it feels like it's a bunch more individuals.
Yeah,
in the city at least. Yeah,
in the cold, and then you feel much worse in the winter when they're sleeping places or asking you for things, and you're like, God, your life is hard.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Homeless people. 9/11.
I know. What else can we talk?
Poison cannabis.
Do you see what I mean? Like, I'm too dark for like a normal person. I need somebody who can like make jokes about 9/11 and like, you know, and not be like, you're a terrible person. Right. So.
Yeah, I think. I'm confident you'll find someone.
Well, thanks for your confidence. I don't have any.
Well, that's good. I have plenty for both of us. I mean, I'm a white straight male who has a podcast. I'm the most confident type of person you can be.
Yeah. My podcast is coming back. I was doing it with my husband and now I'm going to take it.
Hell
make
yeah.
Make it mine.
It's yours.
It's mine.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's that podcast going to be? Let's plug it. Let's tell people to
check. It's called Glitchin.
Glitchin?
I'm just looking for a producer. Actually, someone slid in the other day and was like, I heard you on this podcast. I think you'd be great. I'm a sound engineer. Let's do this. I was like, okay. Yeah, that'd be cool.
There
that'd
it
be
is.
Fun. So Glitchin. I already have like all the website and everything. I already removed him from most of all of that bullshit.
Like Black Mirror slowly deleting a person out of your like online life.
Yeah, I blocked him on everything and all his family and all his friends.
Smart.
Yeah. It was better for my mental health and we went no contact.
Yeah. That I feel like that's the right move.
Definitely. Cause we weren't going no contact. We were talking and trying to like be friends through it.
Right.
And I was just verbally abusing him all the time.
Right.
And he was just saying horrible things back. And I was
like, and maybe there's a time where you can become communicative again.
I don't think so. I don't think I'll
it's
ever.
It's not necessary.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever get to that point where I want to speak to him or see him ever again.
Oh. Fair enough.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, it's your fuck. Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Whatever is going to make you feel good and be happy at this point. That's what it's got to be. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of bad things that I'm not going to put out there in the universe, but I'm just trying not to be self-destructive right now. I know that's what a lot of people do when they're in like this phase.
It's very easy to slip into that.
Yes. So I'm trying to like keep my head on my shoulders and exercise and eat healthy and not like fuck a bunch of people and
give yourself all the checks in the positive mental health column that you can to help fight all the shit that's dealing in the negative. Like
legit.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like my, Because it's easy to just let that shit slip, and then all of a sudden it's just more and more shit on this side of the scale.
And
then
you're just a bad girl again. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to be her.
Yeah, and you feel like you're justified in it because of what, you know, mm-hmm. like, and it's very easy, and it's completely, it makes sense, it's rational, and but at the same time, you just know you're a grown-up now.
Yep.
You know you can't do that shit, which is a fucking hard. It's so hard to be an adult and say, like, this is what I think I need right now, but there's another brain on top of this going, No. You know this is going to be bad if you go this way. Yeah. I've in the last 2 years been dealing with my mental health issues a lot, mm-hmm. and I've got a lot of tools in my tool belt that help me like function as a member of society now. Yeah.
You need tools. I got on pills.
Oh, hey, I have not gotten to that yet, but I am certainly for it.
I'm
you know?
Back on them. Like I went 8 years without them. And like prided myself on that.
Yeah.
So this feels a little bit like a defeat, but right. after like the first week, cause I didn't find out about his affairs for a couple weeks. I just thought that I was fat and disgusting for a couple weeks. So I was like going to die. I was going to just stop living. I stopped eating. I stopped sleeping. And my family and my friends were like, you need to talk to somebody. And the psychiatrist was like, we got to put you on something right now. Cause you're in a dangerous place, right. you know? And then I've since switched cause I was too much pillage. I was like manic and a little bit, you know, crazy. So I'm just on like a little bit.
You're finding your dosage.
Yeah, it's like a little tiny bit of Prozac every day, which I'd like to get off of.
Yeah, I would say if your vision wasn't 20/20, it wouldn't be defeated for you to wear glasses.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you had a bad back, it wouldn't be a defeat to wear like a brace when you exercise.
It's true.
So if you don't look at that as a defeat,
I'm
if
trying.
I can help
I really
you,
am
yeah,
trying.
Yeah, I totally. Just to use that glasses analogy again for something weedy. I heard Seth Rogen on the Howard Stern show when they were out in LA last mm-hmm. week, and someone said, are you worried about being addicted to cannabis? And Seth said, I'm not addicted to it. I just need it to live. And they were like, well, what? Huh? And his analogy went further. And I started to buy into it. Cause I'm like, I actually kind of feel this way. He's like, if you were nearsighted, you wouldn't say you were addicted to your glasses. Walking around barefoot hurts. Dude, is someone addicted to their sneakers?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh. And I realize, like, I have not foregone anything in my personal life. Maybe I'm slightly less apt to go out to an event because I have weed and I can enjoy Big Mouth thoroughly by myself. Like, but I don't think weed has only had, and this, my big fear is that this is also me rationalizing and justifying my behavior, but weed has only improved my life.
Yeah.
In that it helped replace drinking for me as someone who just needed something to take the edge off.
Yep.
And like drinking actually wasn't taking the edge off. It was just giving me more edges.
It's a depressant.
Yeah.
And
now I feel so much better. I've lost weight. My GI tract is normal.
Feeling
again.
Good. Yeah.
Relatively normal. I still ruin it with poor food choices.
Don't we all.
But I've like defeated the munchies more or less. Like,
yeah.
I
that's like, a hard one.
It's hard. I've always had a huge appetite,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm good at like, if I'm getting super high tonight, it's about eating a giant salad or sweet potatoes and chicken. Like I'm all about like, go ahead, consume whatever size food you want, but it's got to be clean.
Yep.
Yeah. Although last night I did eat a peanut butter cookie and then went back for a couple of scoops of ice cream.
Oh.
And
Did you feel sick?
No. I felt great this morning. I woke up.
Lactose doesn't sit well with me.
Oh, I'm good with dairy. It's grains that fuck me up.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I learned. The hard
bread
way.
And
or
dairy
the easy way.
Fucks me up.
What's that?
Gives me bad skin and stuff.
What does?
Bread and dairy.
Oh yeah.
The best things.
The best
that
things
ever.
Cheese sandwiches. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Grilled cheese with tomato soup is not something I can have regularly.
Oh, I know. I can't have bread. Beer used to be my favorite thing.
Yeah.
You know? And even when I started really smoking instead of drinking, like one beer with a joint when outside is like just a dream.
Especially because the myrcene in it, it exacerbates the effects of the cannabis. So you're crossfaded. It's a wonderful effect.
Oh, yeah. I will say when I get crossfaded is when my appetite becomes indestructible. me and my wife were trying to hash it out the other day. And I was like, I get the munchies a little bit from cannabis like anyone else. But I think drinking loosens the inhibitions of
100%.
How gross it is to eat this much or how drinking has always helped me, or I should say helped me in a negative way, not think about consequences.
Mm-hmm.
including like how I'm going to feel tomorrow. And you know, you have to be at work at 8 a.m. or whatever. And you still, and I would do that with food where once I got like, once I'm wasted, I can eat whatever and then add little munchies on there. And it's a full on problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So and now I know that I try not to get too crossfaded except when I'm, and when I do, I know what's coming.
I've been doing more like tequila club sodas.
That's my open bar drink, tequila club soda or vodka, Tito's soda or whatever. Yeah. That feel much better the next day if you only drink that.
Yep.
I haven't told this story on this, but because it happened to me last week, I'll tell you my last anti-drinking story. Thursday night was the Giants Pats game. I went to go meet up with some friends. I had a rough day after a long week, 4 days, long week of doing my job, doing this. Like, who am I kidding? A lot of running around. Uh-huh. And I just smoked a joint outside as I walked into the bar. I was so late to the game. I started like catching up to my friends. I was drinking a bunch of tequila sodas and pint glasses. And then it turned into karaoke night. And I guess I stayed and sang. And I jumped in an Uber. I was only gone for like 3 hours. I came home and I was pretty drunk. I went to sleep and it must have all hit me while I was asleep. And mm-hmm. I got wasted. In addition to like the 6 pints of tequila soda I drank, in the was like 6 pints of soda or 8 uh-huh. pints of soda. My wife wakes me up and she's like, babe. And she heard water running, but it wasn't. I was full on pissing my bed.
Oh my God.
And I take like 2 minute pisses cause I drink so much fluids and I'm a big boy. When I wake up in the morning, I take like a 2 to 2.5 minute piss every morning. I took a full on 2 minute piss
in the bed
and my wife could not get me to stop. Like, and it was, the way she describes it, I should have her on the podcast to describe her side of it for the listeners to hear how fun. She's like, there was a puddle on the floor and it was like splashing and bouncing up. It was on the nightstand because I was laying right on the edge of the bed and just unbroken. Because it took her 45 seconds to even hear it because it just filled the bed, my underwear, and before it even went down to the mm-hmm. ground. It was crystal clear because I had so much soda water. She had to throw the laundry in. She was so mad at me. And I did the fucking awful husband thing of like, I was so embarrassed that I got mad at her for mm-hmm. making me feel embarrassed. But I was drunk too. We woke up the next morning and I go, see, that's why I smoke weed. And she's like, don't use this as scissor again. I was like, but this, I never pissed the bed on weed. And
no,
that's my
me
thing.
Neither.
Yeah. No one ever beats their wife stoned.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I never pissed the bed drunk either.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you're
just not a bed pisser.
You're a grown up.
I have a control of myself. I think I stopped binge drinking by the time I was like 22. I was like over it.
Right. That's the only time I've ever pissed the bed. I've definitely pissed, like in my office chair or in a drawer thinking it was a toilet, you know, just like lizard brain stuff. Yeah. over the course of 20 years of hard drinking, a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
I am pretty good at peeing, where you're supposed to. Well, you have to squat as a girl. It's
that's
a little harder.
Dating profile.
I'm pretty good at peeing where I'm supposed to.
Sunglass emoji. What right? the fuck does this mean?
If it's on your chest and I'm supposed to, then that's where I'm doing it. Little golden shower.
I'm pretty good.
Yep. Whatever you want. Whatever you need. No, I have to draw some boundaries.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. For now.
It's fun discovering what I like because I don't know.
Yeah, you're about to discover a lot about
I'm
yourself.
I'm discovering a lot of things right now.
Well, that's great. That's another positive. Yeah.
It's like old jokes that you got to pull out of the vault if like the new ones aren't doing well.
Yeah. You're
like, well, I know how to do this. Maybe you like that better.
Yeah. Do you remember this?
Well, I haven't done this one in 8 years. So. Yeah.
Too real. Well, Adrian, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty. This is so awesome.
Yeah, this was fun.
I'm always reticent to just reach out to a woman and say, would you like to come to my house and record a podcast? So I appreciate you doing
this. I'm a comedy bitch.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I'm a dark freak.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
And thank you to you and the Higher Path for the goodies.
Yeah.
What a real treat.
Our pleasure.
Heck yeah. I'm flying to Chicago tomorrow and I love LAX's new rule of like, we're not going to care if you have up to an ounce.
There you go.
Your boy is going to bring quite a bit of tree with him for a weekend.
Bring whatever you want.
Anything else you want to plug? The upcoming Glitch podcast?
Glitchin'. Just follow me on all the socials. I'm at Craydrian, CraydrianNNE.
Yeah, and you'll be tagging this. And if I tweet out this episode and you guys want to reply with some weed questions that maybe me or Craydrian can help you answer, let us know. Just reply and we'll hit you back for sure.
For sure.
All right, check out. So it's at Craydrian. Get yourself get yourself up to the higher path in Sherman Oaks or wherever else it comes to soon.
Yep.
And download the Glitchin podcast. By the time this comes out, who knows? Could be out already.
I think it will be.
Could be at the top of the charts. Could have Joe Rogan as a guest already. Who fucking knows? The sky is the fucking limit.
Yep.
Yes. Hell yeah. Thanks for coming on. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys. Yeah, that's it. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.